Now, why do we know that the environment is an important part of cancer? Because after all, we hear so much about genes. Well, the environment's an important part of cancer because fewer than 1 in 10 cases of breast cancer or colon cancer come about because you've inherited a germline mutation. If you're an adopted child, your cancer risk parallels that of the family you grow up in, not the family you were born into. If you're an identical twin, you do not get the same cancer. I'm going to come back to the twins in a moment. And we know that workers have higher rates. Now let's look at some of what we also know. There are chromosomes that have been identified and can be stained with methylation patterns. We can see which chromosomes are expressed. And here are chromosomes from identical twins at age 3. And you can see by the yellow that, you know, they come from one egg that splits in two, and they look pretty close to similar, right? They're age 3, right? But look at what happens to them at age 20, 50, the same twins. Is that amazing? The red and green show up because they're not overlapping. Where you have the red and green overlapping, you've got yellow. Where you don't, as you do in the 50-year-old twins, they come from the same egg. But by the age of 50, they do not even look like they're related. Now what is that telling us? It's telling us the environment is very important. Genes give us the gun, but the environment pulls the trigger. That's what we need to understand. Now, the environment consists not just of chemicals and not just of stress. The environment consists of many different components. But remember, I told you that children are especially vulnerable to radiation. We don't know why these data are happening that I'm showing you here. But the Centers for Disease Control has documented increasing cancers in U.S. children, increasing pediatric cancers. And interestingly, decreased melanoma, which might mean that all of our messages about protecting children from the sun and the best way to protect them is to cover them up. Not fool them with chemicals, but cover them up, you know. That's the best protection, finding clothing that's light enough that you can wear it in the summer. But there's an increase in brain and liver cancer. Nobody knows why. Could it have something to do with the CAT scans? Yes, but I have another idea. Electromagnetic radiation is an underappreciated pollutant. It's here. It's unavoidable. And the electromagnetic spectrum goes all the way from the power lines, things that turn on this electricity in this room, all the way up to ionizing radiation, even to cobalt, to radiation in space, common radiation. We know that radioactive waste and x-rays is very dangerous. But non-ionizing radiation had not been well studied until recently. And it was assumed that because non-ionizing radiation from cell phones and cell towers and Bluetooth and baby monitors and garage door openers and virtual assistants and wireless networks, all of that was assumed to be of no consequence biologically. That's what we assumed. Well, that assumption is wrong, and I'm going to show you why. The FCC set the standards for exposure to radio frequency more than 20 years ago. You know, it's funny. I've been giving talks about this now for more than 10 years. So I used to say almost 20, and now, look, it's bizarre. These standards have not changed. And these 23-year-old standards were based on 33-year-old science. And if you get the book, I can tell you the bizarre basis for the standards. They account only for short-term heating. They certainly cannot protect children and pregnant women, and that's why the American Academy of Pediatrics urges reducing exposure for all children. Now, microwave exposures, just like smoking, you have firsthand when you have it directly next to you. You have secondhand when you're in a room like we are here where you can't completely avoid it. And then you have third hand when you're in the general environment and you don't know what your exposures might be. Children, as you can see here from these animations, will absorb, if you look at the yellow color here, yellow-white, you see
that it gets almost into the middle of the brain of the child with a high intensity, whereas for an adult, it only gets about an inch or so in. But it does.
The point is, children absorb more. They have thinner skulls, they have more fluid, they will absorb more. And we know from the work on lead that their brains are more vulnerable. There is a hippocampus, which is a very critical part to the brain, critical to memory and balance and impulse control. And in models that we've developed and published with our colleagues in Porto Alegre, Brazil, the hippocampus of a child gets 30 times more exposure than that of an adult. We've also done the first study to show that if you're looking at virtual reality devices and those cardboard things, if anybody ever looked at one of those, there are many schools, perhaps even in Asheville, that are encouraging children to use cell phones to go to the moon with virtual reality devices that are placed right over the frontal lobe of the brain. Pay attention to that in some other material I'm going to show you in a moment. We've developed child models with these ages, and we've looked at virtual reality simulations. And as you might imagine, we can show, again, this is looking at the coronal, this is the top looking down on the heads, okay? The greater absorption into that of a 6-year-old compared to a 34-year-old. And this will show you the slow change in the radiation into this 6-year-old head. 10 times higher in the bone marrow of the skull than an adult. So it's really an important issue. And I'm delighted that the American Academy of Pediatrics now has joined with the Pediatric Radiology Group to call for as low as reasonably achievable, but also saying no screen time for children 2 and under. This is one of the worst ideas ever, and there are many of them. It's an iPoddy. I'm not making this up. It's to help your child learn how to go to the bathroom. And there are, according to some grandmothers I've spoken to, some children who will not go to the potty without their iPad. Now, in fact, the iPad is tested 20 centimeters away from an adult male body weighing about 220 pounds. The idea that you in Asheville are giving kindergartners iPads to play with is nonsense. And frankly, it's a form of child abuse because their short arms are not even 20 centimeters long. They're going to hold it right over their gonads, their reproductive organs. They're developing so fast, the last thing in the world you want to give a young, growing child is a two-way microwave radiating device. Bad idea. And hopefully you here will work to educate your school district about this, because the people deciding what to do for technology in the schools have no training in biology. For example, we know that there are synergistic effects of electromagnetic fields and chemicals. And we know that because studies have been published. This is one I'm summarizing there. Here is one that's a little bit more complicated, but I think worth a bit of attention.
If you look at the bar graph, basically, what they did is they took liver cancer cells, which we know will grow because, of course, they're cancer, and then they added to them exposure to radiation from cell phones at very low levels. You understand? And what they showed was an increase in their growth with the cell phone exposure over what you would normally get. So you have a synergistic effect.
And these exposures occurred below current safety limits. It's important for me to say that. We know that microwaves can damage all the membranes of the cell. Several research studies have shown this. This is from the work of Henrietta Nitby and others, and you see the control brain looks nice, white, and clean, and the radiation-exposed brain is full of dots, pockmarked, where the radiation has damaged the membranes. Now I want to show you some work from the National Institute of Drug Abuse. The director is Nora Volkoff, the first author here. We need glucose for energy. The brain, your brains, make glucose when you're thinking. But what is the impact of having glucose when you're not necessarily otherwise needing it? What Dr. Volkoff did was to position the cell phone in the head in the areas closest to the cell phone's antennas, and you see that drawing that she gave me here. These are her slides. And you see that major exposure is occurring to the top and to the side. What she showed was that 50 minutes, that's 50 minutes, on a cell phone significantly altered glucose metabolism in the parts of the brain that were most exposed. Now, I want you to understand something. The phones, the people in the study had two phones. They didn't know whether the phone was on or off because there was no sound coming from it at all. No sound, just two phones, person sitting there. And then after they had that exposure, they didn't know they'd been exposed at all. They then went into a PET scan, and she was able to show a significant increase in glucose metabolism in the part of the brain that got the most exposure, you see right there. Clear evidence that cell phone radiation affects what goes on inside the brain. Now, Alzheimer's has been called diabesity of the brain, diabetes of the brain. We don't know whether or not cell phones cause Alzheimer's, but we certainly know this. If a person has it and you need to communicate with them with a cell phone, get them a headset, get them to use only speakerphone, and never have the device on their body. We know if you look at this animation and look carefully, you will see the reddest and yellowest spot is where the penis and the testes are because, as I said, the testis absorbs the most of any other part of the body. So men, from now on, if you have to carry your phone in your pocket, have it on airplane mode or turn it off. It's actually a novel idea. That way you will protect yourself from this exposure, and this slide comes from work that I did with some colleagues, and we showed the damage to the cellular membrane. You can see on the left, there's nice white boundaries between cells. That's what you want in your cell walls. But you see on the far right side of your slide, the damage is evident because they've lost the membrane integrity. Dr. Melnick is a brilliant scientist who left the US government some time ago, and he is an advisor to us at Environmental Health Trust. And he and I participated in a seminar that was convened by Republican Senator Patrick Kolbeck in Michigan, who's no longer a senator. And he talked about the clear evidence of cancer that was produced by the National Toxicology Program. Just for my information, how many of you have heard about that study? Well, let's see. Let's take a minute and hear Dr. Melnick describe it for a second.
Because of the widespread use of cell phones, even a small increase in risk would have a serious public health impact. And in the meantime, rather than telling people, if you are concerned, this is what you can do, the health agencies need to promote precautionary measures, especially for children and women, because in children, the risks could be greater due to the increased penetration, as well as the sensitivity of the developing brain to tissue-damaging agents. So finally, what is the lesson learned? We should no longer assume that any current or future wireless technology, including 5G, is safe without adequate testing, because to not do so is not ethical.
And what he's referring to there is the following. For more than 40 years, the US government has conducted detailed controlled studies of animals exposed to a variety of toxic chemicals using established protocols that have been approved throughout the government. Those protocols have been developed and reviewed by many experts in the government, including experts from industry. This past 2 years has seen an unprecedented challenge to those methods of research, because when this program showed that cell phone radiation caused cancer in animals, at current levels that we use that do not produce heat. It was challenged. It was subjected to an unprecedented 3 different independent reviews, in addition to all the others, including reviews by some of the top toxicologists from Mobil Oil and Procter & Gamble. And guess what they said? They said, there's clear evidence of cancer. We can't make it go away. There's clear evidence of rare cancers in animals exposed to cell phone radiation. And even their advice has been ignored. So we at Environmental Health Trust are now working with people around the world and with you here in North Carolina to make sure that that information gets more broadly known as it should. So we have the National Toxicology Program data that I just showed you. And what this is to show you is that we have published in the peer-reviewed literature analysis of human data, because they do exist. And what we've found is that every time we look at studies where people have been observed for 10 years or more of cell phone exposure, if they've used a cell phone for 10 years or more, we find between a 50% to an 800% increase in cell phone in brain cancers. The brain cancer risk goes way up the longer they've used phones. And not surprisingly, if they start to use phones before age 20, because they're in this data set from Sweden, they have some people who started to use phones when they were before age 10. They have the highest risks, which makes sense from what we know about the young brain. So unfortunately, this is human proof of the harms. Now, I don't want to see human proof. I don't want to see that become the criterion for action, because I don't want my dead bodies of my relatives to become proof for somebody else's scientific experiment. But this is an article that was published, and several of my co-authors here are MDs who have worked for the World Health Organization for many years. One of the risks we know about that has not been widely discussed is that of breast cancer. These images come from a young woman who was a vegetarian, a runner, who had no risks whatsoever for breast cancer, and even Asian Americans have the lowest rate of breast cancer, low rates of many forms of cancer. And yet, she developed a breast cancer right under the antenna of the phone. Do you see where the dots are? That's where the tumors were. And they were right under where the antennas were for the phone. Now, the younger the breast, the more fluid, the more absorption of the radiation. And the last time we looked, we had 4 cases that were age 21. And they had no known risk factors. They were tested, no genetic risk factors, nothing. Now, the French are different from us in a lot of interesting ways. And one of them is that they actually test their phones. We don't test our phones at all for radiation. In fact, a phone comes to market submitted with data that the industry provides, where they've given one phone that they pick and they take it for testing, and then they share that data with the government maybe a week or two before the phone is going to be launched. In France, they took 442 phones off the shelf and they tested them. Now, how many of you have an iPhone? Those of you who have iPhones, please take them out of your pockets, wherever you have them. And raise your hand when you've got to your home screen and go to settings. When you got to settings, raise your hand, please. And share with your neighbors. Okay. All right. From settings, go to general, which is about 7 down from the top. Okay. From general, then go to about, which is at the top of the screen. About. From about, go all the way down to something called legal. Click on legal, and then you get to RF exposure. And that, for most phones, that's the one part of your phone that you cannot make larger and you cannot copy except by making a screenshot of it. And there you will see the information that says that phones are tested 5 millimeters off the body. And that if you have your phone closer than 5 millimeters to your body, you can exceed test guidelines. It's all there. You should know. It's your fault if you haven't seen it. Well, the French were concerned, and I'm going to show you shortly why. And they looked at different test distances, because the manufacturers often would be testing, say, the iPhone at 10 millimeters. And look at that low reading there. I'll tell you in a moment. This SAR, specific absorption rate, these are all perfectly legal. At 5 millimeters, but when tested on the body, look at the measurement. 5 times higher than when 10 millimeters. Now, what do those numbers mean? What they mean is this. 9 out of 10 phones in France, when tested on the body, failed to meet the current standards, which are 23 years old. 9 out of 10 phones failed, and they failed by 2 to 3-fold or more. Let's look at that for a minute. Bear with me. The iPhone is at the bottom. Let's just focus on that. That's the iPhone 5, by the way. When you use the manufacturer test distance, you get an amount of 1.45 watts per kilogram. When you go to 0 at the European model, you get 5.32 watts per kilogram. But if you translate that to the US standard, it becomes 10. 10. That's 10 times the US standard. That's 10 times the US standard right there. And all the other phones you see are much higher as well. So go back and think about that poor young woman with breast cancer with her phone right here, right over soft developing breast tissue. It's obviously a recipe for a disaster for any young person to keep a phone close to their body. And yet with all these tight skinny jeans and things that young girls wear, and they tuck the phones here or in the bra or in the back, we are seeing exposures that have never before existed in human history, and I believe we have lots of reasons for concerns about them. Here is another report I'm going to show you, and then I think we can take a short break, but I want you to see this.
This is why she argues phones should be tested the way we wear them. So what happens when they are?
So the tests are all done?
Tests are all finished.
And?
The number exceeded the limit. It went up significantly with each one of the phones.
That's right. The phones exceeded the safety limit when they were moved right against the body. The radiation absorbed increased 3 to 4 times.
Yep. And that was the CBC, that's the Canadian Broadcasting Corp. They spent over 6 figures independently testing phones, and they did something a little nasty to me, actually. When they interviewed me, they hadn't finished all their results. So the first thing they said in that interview was, well, we've done the testing, and there's no difference in the amounts. And I said, well, then you did the testing wrong. Because they wanted to see what my reaction would be, because they hadn't finished their results. But then, in fact, they said to me, you know, they set me up and said, well, what do you think if we told you that they were the right results? I said, I think you guys are pretty sneaky, you know. Of course you got those results. It's physics, you know. The further away you are from radiation, the smaller your exposures. My colleague Om Gandhi wrote a paper now almost 2 decades ago, where he explained that every millimeter away from the head or the body gives you 15% less exposure. So you're going to get further away, you're going to get thousands times less exposure. And that's why they tested them. At one point, the BlackBerries were tested a full inch off the body. Well, who keeps the phone an inch off the body? Nobody. But that was how the phones were first approved, for a completely unrealistic testing scenario that I think is similar to the diesel scandal. The diesel scandal, where the diesel testing was fraudulent, I think that's what we have with phones. I think the way phones are tested today is a fraud. It's a fraud because they are tested in a way that's not realistic. And that is why the American Academy of Pediatrics has written to the government repeatedly asking that there be new approaches for setting standards for phones and other devices that will protect children, because our current standards do not protect children, do not protect infants and toddlers, and we have more than 10,000 apps that are being given now to infants and toddlers, and you have an iPhone teething rattle case and an iPad teething rattle case.